how do you find out what happens in the jury room?
That's a great question, and it's really been, like you indicate, a very sacred process. What the jurors do when they go back to deliberate has long been off limits, but this case really says that we can look into that. And in this case, what happened, and I assume this would happen in most cases, is that another juror came forward and said that, actually two jurors came forward and said that one of the jury members had expressed some fairly significant racial bias toward the minority defendant, and that bias could have tainted the jury, and we're now going to go look and see how much that taint occurred.
I could see this being a pretty sticky situation in a lot of different trials, Greg, maybe ones that deal with, I don't know, race or whatever, something along those lines. I mean, this could be, you know, kind of a he said kind of a thing.
Right, and we try not to do that. In fact, the Supreme Court was very conscious of that very thing. When they were hearing the arguments, they said, well, what about someone who expresses a religious bias? Or what about someone who expresses other kind of bias that could affect the jury? I mean, is that really the kind of thing that we want to look into in every single jury case? We just always hold those deliberations very, very private. We even have a rule in Utah that's similar to the one that was here that says jurors do not have to talk about what happened in their deliberations and don't have to disclose. But this Supreme Court says that in some instances they very well may have to discuss that.
And I think I'll just give the audience exactly what happened. The case was a sexual assault case, and the juror disclosed that one of the other jurors said, and I quote, "I think he did it because he's Mexican, and Mexican men take whatever they want." That's what the juror says, another juror said. And I mean, you can see why that would be so upsetting to a juror that they would disclose it to the judge. But couldn't that be taken into account and lead to a hung jury? Isn't there another way to protect against that kind of bias?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point, because there were eight jurors in that case, and they all agreed on the verdict. So the fact that one had an inappropriate, really inexcusable bias, that doesn't mean that the others had to go along with that. But we do want to make sure that jurors are free of that, that they bring their own opinions, their own views into the jury room, and that this guy happened to be a retired police officer. So when he says, "I've dealt with Mexicans before, and this is the kind of thing they do," I think you could argue that carried some weight that it absolutely should not have, and it was certainly inappropriate for him to say, and probably did swayed some of the other jurors.
And very quickly, Greg, this is just cases going forward, right? This isn't looking back and trying to change any verdicts that might have already come about.
Well, we hope not. We hope not, Brian, because that's the concern that everyone has is, now, wait a minute, are we going to go back and start interviewing jurors in cases and other in that we've done over the past? I don't think that's going to happen. I think the Supreme Court was very, very careful to carve this case out very much on its own, and to avoid that very, very problem.
Greg, we love your insight. Thanks so much for joining us. KSL legal analyst Greg Skordas with us on The In-Depth at 15 and 45.